All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow tech enthusiasts. I am Sam Bushman. I've got Jay Harrison with me. Welcome, sir.
Sam, how are you?
Absolutely fantastic. It's spring and spring around here, buddy.
It is. It is, unfortunately. Winter's my favorite season, so I like the winter.
I love the spring, fall, and winter.
Yeah.
And I don't like the summer.
I'm with you.
I've got three great seasons. And personally, I'd love a blend between, spring's a little bit bipolar. It's like hot and cold,
yeah.
And hot and cold, right? I'd prefer the cooler side of the spring, but stable. Right?
Fall's my second favorite. Then followed by spring and summer, the least. I guess got that with tech guys, though. They're all indoors and, you know, I like the beach at time and stuff like that, but my favorite season would be winter. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it when it's just not hot, though. That's what I just, you know.
I like fires at night.
My favorite seasons in this row are like this. It's fall, winter, spring.
Yeah.
I like
I'm very close to that. It would be winter, fall
is,
spring, summer.
Yeah, there you go. To me, summer just needs to be out as long as I can get winter. Fall, winter,
Florida.
Spring.
Right.
If I could get that consistently, I'd just take that. You know, 4 months each would be great.
Yeah.
The
problem where I live in Florida is we only have three seasons, and those are January, February, and summer.
Oh, good point. All right. Is there a big difference between January and February?
It's January and February is kind of like winter. I mean, it's a Florida winter, so, you know, highs in the low 60s maybe.
So it's kind of like you have spring and summer.
Yeah, and then you just have brutal summer.
Because spring's where it's getting hotter, where it's, the reason I like fall, not only is there Christmas and Thanksgiving and awesome stuff like that, but I love the it's going to be cooler feeling and view rather than it's going to get hotter feeling. Anyway. There you go. For tech guys that love air conditioning, we're doing pretty good, aren't we?
I do like air conditioning.
Amen to that. Absolutely. By the way, that is a tech
one of my
marvel,
favorite techs.
I'll just tell you. Yeah. Don't you think that's a tech marvel?
Absolutely.
Think about it.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Imagine in the days when the only place you could go to see air conditioning or experience was like the movie theater. What a draw that would have been to the movie theater.
No.
People would go to the.
Just imagine those people that lived for thousands of years and they had none of it.
Yeah.
Zero.
And
you're not going to go anywhere except for maybe, the shade?
Yeah.
That's the best you get?
You hear stories of people that would go to the movie theater, buy a ticket, and they would just sleep through the movie, just to sleep in the air conditioning. I can associate with that.
Amen to that. All right, there you have it. Speaking of that, it's a little different on the Apple front these days. The Apple Corporation, whatever you want to call it, Cupertino, California, whatever it is, those guys, I guess, are in a big bunch of trouble. Whether you like it or not, agree with it or not, technology-wise or not, I want to focus on the tech aspects of this. But it's interesting, this lawsuit, the Apple iPhone antitrust lawsuit, DOJ, TechCrunch. So the Department of Justice suing Apple. And they say the DOJ's case against Apple adds to the growing pile of antitrust problems for Cupertino is what they say, but Apple. It's a massive case led by the United States, but other countries have similar type concerns already, Jay.
Yeah, that's right. The European Union has already made them go to USB-C, for example. So the new iPhone 15 is going to be USB-C. It already is. It's available now. They're going to standardize on that. And it was really legislation like this that kind of pushed them into it. But they also have in the European Union pushed them into being able to have like a compatible store. They can't have a sole Apple run store with, you know, their cut or 30% of whatever. And people were saying, hey, is that going to roll out to America? I think that's what this bid is with the DOJ, is they want to make sure that happens at least here in America, but also globally, that Apple is going to have alternatives to their store. And there's pros and cons for this, because especially with the store related things, yes, you know, you do want to be able to get apps in without having to jailbreak your unit or sideload things or whatever. But it also is going to decrease the security and the closed walled garden that, for all of its negatives, also makes iOS probably the most secure operating system in the world right now. So, you know, I see both sides to that issue.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by I want to address this from a tech point of view. I want to kind of help people understand a little bit what the lawsuit's about and then kind of put perspectives to it, not to form your opinion, but to provide you details where you can make an informed tech-based understanding opinion on this. And I agree with Jay, I see both sides. You know, on one hand, you don't want a company to become so big that it's like a monopoly. On the other hand, hey, you don't want to stifle growth. What I would say is this, you know, how much has the government contributed or helped fund, fuel the growth of Apple or any of these companies? That is what they ought to stop doing.
Yeah.
So that they can just basically be on their own. You don't need a push from government and then a slowdown from government and a push from government. You just need to let it do its thing. And if it then gets too out of control for a justifiable reason, then that's case by case up for discussion, no doubt. But from a tech point of view, what I'm getting at is, it has to do with the Apple Store and them taking 30%. It has to do with a pile of antitrust problems. For example, the FaceTime app versus nobody else can communicate with anybody, you know, FaceTime-wise. Or you take sending photos and videos and, hey, it's incompatible and is that intentional and can that be resolved? There's all kinds of pieces to this discussion. It's not just distribution of phones, because if you go look at the distribution of phones in the country, meaning in the U.S. and in the world, I don't know that it's 100% in favor of Apple, not even close.
No, not even close, especially globally. So
this is about operating system control. This is about payment control. This is about all kinds of ecosystem details, Jay, that surround the core of Apple having, say, hardware, computers and phones and such. It's all the surrounding details of communication and working with other companies. It's like the Chargers, a great example that you brought up, or the you know, they're going to switch to the different connector because they have to. It's all these different details around, not necessarily even the core of the phone at this point, Jay.
No, it's not. And to say that overnight, all of a sudden, the Department of Justice has just discovered that Apple is a monopoly, I don't buy into that much. I mean, Apple's been around. They're doing their thing. They're not a monopoly on phones. There is another alternative, and it's a viable alternative. It's not even like, oh, just this little thing that has no market share. If you look at global distribution of phones, by and large, especially in other countries, iPhone reigns king. Or not iPhone, I mean Android. Google's phone system.
Yeah, it's like 60-40 at best or something like that. 70-30, or it's something pretty extreme.
Yeah, in some countries, I think it's even over 80%. But in America, certainly iPhone is very prevalent because it's seen as a status symbol and it's very expensive. And it's, you know, people are worried about security and they have a little extra disposable income. And so there's a lot of factors for that. But I don't know that I would call them a monopoly. I think the rubber stamping Apple is a monopoly. I don't know. Maybe they're a monopoly in their own ecosystem, but why shouldn't they be? I mean, why can't they be?
That's right. So, and that really speaks to both sides of it, like you're talking about. It's like, hey, how much independence and ability to make their own choices and you know, push towards or direct towards their own destiny without interference? And that's the other side of the question. They say this, though, and I find this interesting in the story, and the reason after mentioning that it's all these different surrounding the phone issues. You know, the sending of pictures, the connector, the this, the that, the okay. The next one says that DOJ's antitrust case against Apple, though, neatly aligns with the EU on one key point. That is NFC and mobile payments, Jay. That's quite interesting because now you've got the two governments kind of in line with one another. They're going to force an agenda item relating to NFC, in other words, that's the short connectivity thing,
yep.
Like the chargers, credit cards, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the other piece of this is the mobile payments. There's some controls being put in place by government here, which I do not like.
Yeah.
It's under the guise of claiming that it's Apple. And yes, maybe Apple's going too far. I don't have the internal details to know everything about that. What I know is this. Who's going to go too far, Apple or the government, or Company A or the government? I'm not really a fan of either. I'd like to make sure that it's transparent, that there's clarity, that there's understanding, and there's accountability. That's what I'd talk about, Jay. And I hope that's not even a political statement, really, right?
Well, yeah, and I think that it possibly has ties to FedNow, a digital currency, being able to tie in with Apple Pay and being able to control that stuff. There's a lot of other reasons, and I don't necessarily think that they have the best interest of the consumer or the average person in mind on this. I think there are possibly other agendas.
No doubt about it. And I bring it up because it's so huge, though. It's going to affect all of us day in and day out, because all the things surrounding the phone that I mentioned are ways that you live your life. In other words, if you use a certain charger, now you got to buy a new one. If you're going to use NFC, well, okay, you got to, you know, then comply what, to EU standards now, I guess? Well, no, because the United States is now, it's okay. So you got to comply with that. You got to comply with the payments issues and all the downstream details. The devil's in the details a lot of times. It's the details that are going to affect your life is the point, right?
And if it's a payment issue.
Just take the communication of videos. Right now, videos can become grainy between, you know, iPhones and Androids, and they're trying to, you know, get together and fix that. Well, are they going to fix it? But by some weird quirk of the law or something else, hey, yeah, we've got it fixed. Everybody gets the low res one now.
There's already fixes
we've gone backwards. Right, but I'm just saying those are the kind of things that are spawning these lawsuits and these compromises and these controls being brought out to the corporate world, right?
Well, I think you let the free market fix that stuff. I'll give you an example.
I agree.
If you use Telegram, it's cross-platform. It doesn't matter whether you're on iOS or Android or even Windows, for that matter. You can send all the video that you want between things in full resolution. You don't have that problem. Let the market figure these things out. I don't think that Apple is the walled garden as far as a monopoly that they're kind of making it out to be. You can't come to somebody, I don't think anyway, I mean, it's opinion only, but and say, well, you have to work with my software. You don't have to,
right.
No.
Right, and that's my whole point of bringing this up, is I want people to understand this from a practical livability kind of day-to-day thing. You know, there are solutions. Things do take care of themselves. And oftentimes, I think patience is the way to go, leaving the ingenuity of the American mind, or the mind of the world, for that matter, and their ability to resolve problems. Think about it that way, too, which is basically what you said, but in kind of a different focus. Individuals can solve problems. Whenever there's pain points, people find solutions, Jay.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention.
And in tech, this is really important to understand. When I go into a tech job as a consultant, oftentimes, Jay, I'll go into there and I learn and hear what they have to say. And I care about the points they're making. And I listen to them and I do my very best to truly understand. But I try to understand more than just the problem they claim. Not that what they're claiming isn't true, but if I listen and then backtrack to their pain points, I find sometimes the problem isn't what they think it is.
Right.
And I also find oftentimes that the fix might be simpler than they think it is. Like, tiny adjustments to things have big impact when it comes to downstream, especially day in and day out living habits, like, you know, executing processes in tech and this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you
the know, butterfly
automation's
effect.
Great, but it's you get right. Anyway, I really want to kind of highlight that, and that's part of the reason that I focus on all these external details of the iPhone. We'll see what happens. But Bitcoin, speaking of digital currencies, is really rocking at its all-time high stuff right now, Jay.
They are.
Give or take, right?
Are you dipping your toe, Sam?
No, sir. I don't dip my toe in the crypto. I don't believe in it.
That's funny. Bitcoin is doing great.
I just
great.
Don't believe in it, right?
Yeah, I understand it. What did it break? 79,000 per coin recently? Was that their all-time high?
I don't even understand how to have this discussion. I cannot imagine what that means, right?
It is crazy.
The coins, when this first kind of we heard about it, what were they worth, Jay? Like $5?
Oh, no, you could buy a coin for a dollar. I mean, I really missed the boat on that, because I had a chance one time to buy 100 coins for $100.
But
and
let
I was
me
like,
make this
nah,
point very clear. This is not a political point, but I'm going to make this fact very clear. When you could have bought something for a dollar and now it's worth how much? $70,000?
Yeah, $79,000.
What goes up must come down. All I'm telling you is, if it can fluctuate that wildly, that pendulum can be that extreme.
It could go the
other
way.
You know that it's not stability. When it comes to assets, Jay, hold on. When it comes to assets, you want stability in assets. If they become slowly more valuable over time or wane with the markets, that's fine. But you want your assets to have stability day in and day out, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I don't agree necessarily with what you say. What goes up must come down, because, I mean, look at, do you buy a house in Cape Coral, for example? I just saw this example. In the 50s or 60s, you could buy it for $15,000. That's never coming down to that rate. It's never going to get back to that number.
I don't think so. What about when the market completely busts?
I just don't think it'll get there. I don't think that it'll devalue that much. And the same thing with a coin that's being minted and nobody knows about it at first. I don't think you'll ever see Bitcoin. Now, I do think if there's a break in the system, for example, let's say quantum cryptography or quantum computing somehow breaks the algorithm, and now anybody can, you know, just break the blockchain and it destroys Bitcoin, it could become worthless in that scenario. But yes, as long as the math holds up.
What if you break the algorithm that forced it to go up mathematically? In other words, if you put, there's things in place that mathematically make that change, right?
Right.
But then you could take those away and it could be back where it once was. And I submit to you with you know, home loans and corporate loans everywhere, you can get a loan really easy and it's all based on your credit life. But if that were yanked out from under us, and if they didn't have, you know, fake, you know, currency and this kind of stuff, this would not be happening. And you would pull the rug out from under it over time.
You don't see inflation going backwards. I mean, you might see very small periods of deflation, but
But at some point, if you look at history and societies, it blows up and eventually it goes backwards and has to reset itself if it keeps going up. It can't go up forever.
Maybe you're right.
It's going to crash or go down. Because at what point, I mean, what number would you use? I mean, pretty soon is your paycheck going to be $66 trillion? And your house payment is going to be $49 billion and stuff?
No, you'll probably switch currencies before then, like you said.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. So then what it did is it failed. It went down. It crashed. And we went to a different one. Now you could say, well, I got parity along my way. Well, you're lucky that time. Great. I'm glad you did. But wealth and assets are something that is stable. Now, I agree there's a little bit of market fluctuation, but it doesn't go to the wild extreme. Hard assets don't go to the wild extremes like they're making this happen.
I think,
and I bring it up because it's important to understand money, right?
I think the value of Bitcoin, though, is loosely inversely proportional to the value of the dollar. And so as people see weakness in the dollar and they see potential problems on the rise or too much inflation, for example, you'll see people starting to diversify and get into things like Bitcoin, and that drives the value of Bitcoin up. And I think that those have a relationship somewhere.
They do, for sure, because every time you put together any currency or any medium of exchange, you're going to compare it to what's kind of the predominant of the world and or the place you live, depending on how much you're restricted or whatever.
Right.
But as long as the dollar is the world currency, that'll be true. If the dollar loses world currency status, the more that happens, the less true that will become.
Yeah, and everything else would become, you know, worth more, whether it's gold or other currencies, as long as those governments are stable.
Well, gold will stay the same. It'll still buy whatever it bought forever ago. That won't really change.
I know. I mean, in perspective to the dollar. But the other thing that you got to know about Bitcoin is they're not making so much of it, and it caps out, and eventually there will be no more. And it's already getting less and less and harder right. to mine.
And once you get to where there's no more, you've reached one end of its life, if you will. The second end of its life is now, we say, okay, it's worth this value, this many coins exist, and it's this dollar amount. What's going to fluctuate that overall dollar amount? And the answer is the only thing that will is the confidence in it.
Right.
If the electricity goes out, it's worth zero, and the confidence in it, if the confidence plummets, the amount plummets, and there'll be nothing they can do about it, because now that's the second factor, you know, the confidence game and the finitity or infinity of lack of infinite. It's not infinite, right? It's finite.
Right.
That, again, will create eventually a cap, and then
except
the question
that
becomes, can you keep enough confidence to keep that balance with the cap in place?
Another,
in other words, supply and demand, yes or no, right?
Right. Another interesting thing, though, of Bitcoin is that it's divisible. Where we see the dollar divisible down to 1/100th, it's divisible down to 8 decimal places. And so it's been said that
so
you can
run.
You've
got another caveat to grow way, 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 way bigger in the mathematical model, but it still ends.
Yeah, but you could run like an entire world economy on a single Bitcoin if you wanted to.
Maybe, just like we ran the whole world on 64K of computers, right?
That's right. Back in the day, so, Sam.
I'm just saying, see, that's the point that I'm getting at, is these things change, and it's very hard to predict or understand. But what you can understand is this. Whenever something is made valuable that didn't have value, in other words, it kind of comes out of thin air in terms of its value, you know that there's a problem with dishonesty being able to manipulate that.
You think there's dishonesty in Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there are things that got put into value to make it. There's a lot of energy and a lot of computing power that went into
it's all true, but if you turn off the electricity, it's worth nothing.
I know what you're saying.
Is it worth something if the electricity's gone?
If all electricity in the whole world stops?
Well, no, just maybe related to you or to whoever. I guess if you can't access it,
but if you put all your money in a bank and it, or all your gold or whatever, and you can't access it anymore, then yeah, I guess it's gone.
That's right. And it's all risk. And whether you think that, say, gold in either a vault that's insured or gold that's somewhere, you know, stored secretly somewhere or whatever, if you think, you know, preventing me from getting to that is the same as, say, turning off electricity, then I guess you're right. I would submit to you that the hard asset, though, has value because it's local, it's present, it's in your hands, it's portable, it's all those things that without electricity, Bitcoin is not, right?
Right.
It's all those intrinsic value factors that we're looking at now, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an interesting conversation, and the reason that I spend so much time on it is because I want people to understand you can be three kinds of people that deal with crypto. You can be one, like Sam Bushman, against it all and think it's a waste of time and know that people got rich on it, but it's like the gold rush of yesteryear and I'm not chasing after it. And so you could be a no, don't dip your toe in the crypto kind of guy and say, no, I'm not doing digital currencies. You can be this, and I guess unless the government changed the currency and forced us to, that's a different topic. Really.
Yeah, which you might be in whether you like it or not.
Right. And I hope we have choice and agency. But you can be the second kind of person that says, oh, I'm gonna play with cryptocurrency just a little bit for fun to learn about it. And it's kind of a hobby. And if I make or break it, it's a little bit like gambling. I'm not going to put so much in to lose to where it's not a big problem. And you can just do that and dabble in it. That's where you dip your toe in the crypto, right?
Right.
I say don't dip your toe in the crypto. The third person just embraces it 100% and says, man, I'm not even going to. If it doesn't do Apple Pay and if it doesn't, you know, tie to my Bitcoin or my whatever digital currency I use now, then I'm not going to touch it. I won't even deal in the real world anymore in terms of currency. I don't have any debit cards or anything else. I just got my phone wallet and it's connected to all my services and boom. You know, you can be that kind of an all-in person. But I submit to you that when electricity is so finicky, then to me it's not something that I would put my day-to-day dependencies on, Jay.
Right.
Anyway, a little bit philosophical in this show, but it's really interesting topics when people are getting sued left and right over this intellectual property. When we look at, the Bitcoin scenario, right? Anyway, all right, you think TikTok, speaking of this same kind of a topic, Jay, is TikTok going to be banned? It's looking more and more likely. I'll give you my opinion in a second. What do you think?
I don't think it'll get banned, okay? I think that they may force it to be some pseudo-American company. I think they're wrong on a lot of fronts. I think a lot of legislators don't understand it. I think that they don't like the freedom of speech that there is on TikTok. I think that there is some aspect of control that foreign governments have. But again, I lean toward let the market kind of figure it out. And if the market is doing well with that, I mean, I've seen arguments on both sides, and they all have valid points. Do I think legislators should be trying to tell you what app you can or can't put on your phone? No, I don't. And I don't think that they should be trying to ban TikTok, and I don't think they even effectively will. It'll be a neutered bill, even if it gets through.
I think you're right, but the idea that they think they can do this at that level concerns me greatly.
It does.
So I think you're
it's
right on
the fact. It's a
freedom
of speech issue, I think.
But the fact that they're even thinking about this in real terms, it is frightening to me. It's like, are you kidding me? Now, do I think the communist Chinese are my friends? No. But you know what? If we're going to do that, and I'm not making this political, but let's not be their most favored nation trading partner. If the average American can't put one of their apps on our phones,
yeah,
then we shouldn't be having them as most favored nation trading partner, should we? I mean, for heck's sakes. So the problem with this is they make every nuance of this political, and I don't mean it to be. From a tech point of view, I'm saying, hey, people should be able to choose the applications they use. That's a tech point, Jay.
If there's a better one, you know, build a better mousetrap. If Silicon Valley or anybody else wants to do this, I mean, YouTube has YouTube Shorts, Facebook has Reels, you know, they all have these other things. They're just not competing. Why? Because there are things about TikTok that make it better than everybody else in that sector that's on there. A lot of things. I think they're just mad. They're just mad that somebody else got it and they don't 100%. Have control over it. That's the biggest
All right, thing. That's a wrap. If you want to learn more about us, npitechguys.com for the podcast and more. Networkprovidersinc.com for our website for IT services. Thanks so much. Make it a great tech day, will you?